someone would have told me this is what I'd be doing, I wouldn't believe them. But this is how God is working in my life, and I'm sure He's working in the lives of others here also. But anyway, this trip to Brussels, it was quite a bit different, I guess, compared to the three previous trips that I've been on, which have been my only trips ever. But from Guatemala to Mexico to India, the people were very receptive and very gracious. And it wasn't too big of a problem to distribute a big amount of tracts. But in this particular city, it wasn't the case. We were even told before we went by Dave's recon patrol that it would be the people were cold and lost in sin. And this is what I've experienced there in the 2 weeks we were there, just about 2 weeks. It wasn't easy to just go out on a corner and hand out the tracts at will. And at times it got very discouraging when you'd be at a busy place, and after a few days there, you zero in on the busy spots in town and the bus stations and train stations and things. And to be standing on the corner and having whole herds of flocks of people going by you, and 20, 30, 40 people go by, and maybe one or two would take a track. And this is what I was experiencing. So it wasn't fun. So maybe it was a reason for it, because you did a lot of praying while you were out there, because you're not only praying for the people, but naturally you're trying to distribute a lot of tracts. And so I guess I'll touch on this as I go on, but there wasn't too many highlights like there seemed to be on the other trips as far as the reception to God's Word. But anyway, it was a good trip. The Lord blessed us. He took care of us. No one got sick or lost or in danger or anything like that. So God's hand of protection was upon us with all the traveling we did on the subways and trains and everything like that. Everything went quite well as far as in that respect. And we had 21 people, which was a big group, and I've never been on a trip with that many, so that required a lot more of coordinating and things like that. I think the largest group I've been with was 15, maybe 14, but so it brought in other I don't know, you just had to be more on the watch out for everybody else. And but in all of that, we had nice fellowship quite a bit. We try to have a Bible study every evening, but then because of the distribution being so slow, we even stopped that for a while, and we were going out after dinner in the evenings and trying to go when it seemed to be when the people were out to distribute the tracts. And so after a few days in a town, you get a handle on things, you try to feel it out, and you get more at ease the first couple of days. You don't really know what's going to happen or what to expect. So it takes a few days for you to really settle in and get down to serious business, which is going out some days all day long and leaving your area, not coming back to the hotel, and trying to find places where the people are, and hopefully they will be receptive to our tracks. And I'm not as nervous as I was the last two times, but I still, when I got home, I said, well, when I do come to the fellowship and talk about this, I'll really be prepared. Well, anyway, that didn't happen, but on my way home from the trip, I wrote down a few notes while everything was still fresh in my mind, and I'm glad I did, because if I didn't, I'd really be unprepared, but thank God. So, as I said, I touched on the reception, which was, in my opinion, was not good at all. And a lot of the tracts that we were distributing were being thrown on the ground. And if it wasn't for that, I guess these people were taking them for different reasons. And if they didn't throw them on the ground, I noticed here, it's a pretty clean place. It's a modern city. It's not like going to the third world countries or going back in time, so to speak, like India. And if they didn't put them on the ground, they were courteous enough to at least find a trash can. So the garbage cans were being used an awful lot. And it's sad to say, and it almost makes you cry, but I got to where I was even, well, I'd be out with a team, and you try to sort of have a feel on how many tracks you're distributing, although you're not counting or anything, but you just want to know how things are going. And it got to the point where I was, with the area we'd be working in, I had a habit of going around and looking in the trash cans. And it was not good to see what was in them. Many, many tracks were placed in the trash can. So that was another discouraging factor. But so we still got to pray to God and trust in Him that we were there for a reason. And we know God allowed us to go there. We know the doors were open to go to Brussels. And we know God is in charge of the whole operation. And we did see His hand in a few things that we did, but we just got to trust in Him and pray that He will save many there, because it may be their last call. It may be their last call. So, okay. And then, again, I was new to subways. We rode the subway systems a lot. And after a couple of days, you sort of get the feel of it. But that was our main transportation. Taxi cabs were too expensive, so you took the subways systems all over the place. And it was interesting at first, after making a few mistakes and getting on the wrong subways when you're changing them, and you wouldn't end up at your assigned destination, and you're riding down on the subway, and then you realize, you look at the map, and you say, we're going the wrong way, so we better get out of the next stop and get on one going the other way. So, but also on these trips, we are assigned locations to go to each day. Each team is assigned a location. And what we try to do is go there first and see what it's like. But no one actually knows what to expect. And Barry Prasad was basically in charge of this, the whole group and the whole trip. And it's really, he had a lot on him, because most of every other trip I've been on, Jerry Mittelstadt was also there. And between Jerry and Barry, they would share the load and do the reports and all. But Barry didn't have that help this time. So when he gives us assignments, he's getting assignments from the local people or the people at the desks in the hotel, and just trying to pinpoint areas where there are a lot of people. But another thing, to go to Brussels, we had to get a permit to distribute tracts in this city, which held this trip up for quite some time. But Dave Morrell was in charge of that, and finally we did get a legal permit where we had to have permission to go into this city, first of all, just to distribute the gospel. And we finally got that, and that's when everyone felt, well, the door was open to go to Brussels. But even on that permit, he had made copies of them. We all carried one just to show authorities in case we ran into problems. We were restricted, even when we had to, if we had to go by the rules on that permit that we had. There was a lot of major areas that we were not allowed to distribute tracts in. So that didn't make it easy either. You couldn't distribute them in the subways or on the subways or in the trains or by this palace or a lot of major areas in Brussels where there would be a lot of people. We were not allowed to go to many of them. So whether that was foreseen or not, I don't know. But anyway, that was sort of a hindrance too. And it isn't that big of a city. And we had five teams going out every day. So after a few days, you're going to the same places over and over, and you start seeing the same people. And it's not happy. But although a lot of teams went to other cities, we went to Germany. There was some people from New York with us that brought German tracks. And we did a lot of long-range traveling, too, to Amsterdam, to Germany, to another city on the border of Belgium and Germany. And then a team went to Paris one day, which I was on that team, and eight of us went to Paris on one of these high-speed trains. Anyway, it took an hour and a half to get there. And we got downtown Paris somewhere and just tried to get in a busy area. And the reception there was, I'd say, even poorer than in Brussels. It wasn't easy. We took an awful lot of tracks with us, expecting to really hand them out because of the amount of people there, but it just didn't happen. A lot weren't taking them, and a lot that were, as soon as they realized what it was or started reading it, they just discarded it. You know, it wasn't. So I don't know. That bothered me, this trip, because maybe I was spoiled on the earlier ones where the people were friendly and the reception rate was high. But all in all, it's I guess I'm learning we have to accept that everywhere we go, people don't want it. But when you really think about it, you see the same thing right here in our country, right in our cities. It's not easy to go out on the streets here and distribute the gospel. But here we can do it any time. It just seems like at these trips you're only gone for 2 weeks and you want to make the most of it. You want to distribute the tracts. But all in all, the tracts did go. It seemed like towards the end of the trip, the second week, God seemed to be sending people our way, even though there weren't many, that were requesting tracts for themselves so that they could continue the distribution after we left, different people from centers and things like that. So all in all, 200,000 tracts is a lot of tracts to hand out. But I've seen that on other trips also, where we would meet people. And naturally, we try to screen them somewhat to make sure they understand the tract, make sure they understand what we are handing out or what they will be handing out. And towards the end of the trip, that seemed to happen. And it was a blessing because there was no way that we could have distributed the tracts we had just with our teams just around that city, because the people, after a while, they just were not receiving them, not to any volume. So that's another thing. And then we had a dear brother in the Lord, Brother Case. I don't know if any of you have been on, a few of you have been on trips. Case Droog is his name. He's from Amsterdam. He's been on a few family radio trips. And he was very instrumental. God had raised him up physically and used him in a great way to help arrange this trip and set it up. And he's a dear brother in the Lord, to keep him in prayer. Case is his name. And God used him in a big way to make things better for us, because he knew the language, he knew the people. He was our interpreter. He was there at the airport for us. He just sat all the, he went there a few days ahead of us and met Barry there, and all the pre-arrangements were made, and Case was very, very instrumental in doing this. And he just a beloved brother in the Lord with the heart of a servant. And I got to know him, and we came to be pretty good friends in this short time, because our past were very terrible, very bad. And so we related to each other, because God had delivered us from the darkness. So we became close, and thank God. Anyway, God delivered us from the darkness to the light. And when you meet a brother like that in the Lord, even if he's from the other side of the world, you it was a blessing. So, let me find my notes here. But Brother Case is a... We really thank God for him on this particular trip. And I couldn't help but think of how God uses people like this. I kept thinking about Edelberto on the trip to Chihuahua, Mexico, which is a Spanish-speaking man, how God raised him up to help Family Radio arrange these trips in the Spanish-speaking countries, you know, and just common people. And I had a laugh when I met Alberto. We're going back to Chihuahua, Mexico now. We were talking. We got getting to know each other. He only spoke Spanish. So he went and bought an English Bible, and he bought the Bible on cassette. And he said, this is how I'm going to learn English. And he was only interested in learning English for his own benefit, for his life, for his work, for his occupation. And praise God, in the process, God saved him. Because he, just from reading God's Word and listening to it, trying to learn English, the Lord saved him and raised him up and is using him in a mighty way in helping Family Radio with a lot of these trips. So God is wonderful. If he can use people like me, and well, his word says he uses the weak and the simple and things like that, and I definitely fit in that category. So I just want to praise God. And there was a lot of people just repelled from the tracks when they saw what we were handing them. And we would try to hold them in a way so they would see it, because you didn't want them to take them and throw them on the ground, or take them and look for the next garbage can and put them in. And when you did that, my experience was the reception rate was even went down, because they would see God on there, does God love you? And they just didn't want any part of it. It was really sad to see that. And some would even go as far as reaching out to take the track, and they'd be ready to grab it, and they'd see what you're handing them, and they would literally just jump back and run away from you and say, no, we don't want nothing to do with that. Like, I've never experienced that, so that was quite an experience, I'll tell you. There were a lot of, the town itself was basically Catholic, we were told, and Muslim. And there are many, many Muslim there. And the Muslim women accepted the tracts graciously. In fact, if it wasn't for the Muslim women accepting the tracts, the distribution rate would have been considerably lower. So maybe maybe the Lord sent us there just to get the message to them. We don't know, but they were taking them, and they were keeping them. And hopefully they were taking them home to read them and take them home to their families. And another day out on the street, I had run into a few people. I started bumping into, is that the Mormons that have the ones from Utah? Mormons, well, they have a church there too. And I met some young boys on the street one day. They didn't tell me who they were, but I invited them to our Bible study. And they took the tracts, and they said they were there doing the same thing, but I didn't see them handing out tracts. And I told him about the Bible study, and that very night, three men show up at the Bible study with suits on and all, and I'm coming down to our conference room. And they said, "Oh, Tom, there's some men here that you met on the street today." I said, "Oh, beautiful. I did invite a few to our Bible study," not realizing that they were of the Mormon faith, although they wore the badge and everything, but I didn't pay attention to that. And I said, "Oh, that's great." But when I got to our little room, our conference room, where we have our studies and services, it wasn't the boys I met on the street, but it was their deacons and their elders from their church there. So they showed up at our Bible study that night and the night after. Two of them came, and three nights in a row, these two men came and stayed in our Bible study, and we had heard some really good messages. So we're going to keep them in prayer. It may be the first time they've ever heard the true gospel. And they weren't given an opportunity to even talk about anything else, but they were invited to the Bible study. And then Barry would politely tell them, "Well, now we have to take care of our business, and we appreciate you coming." And that was that. So three nights in a row, the same two men came and sat intently to hear a message each night. So we pray that God will even work in their hearts. So that was interesting. And we had two young people on the trip, which was very encouraging to me. We had Gunter von Haringa, Senior. I guess you've heard him. You know him, some of you. You've heard him teaching, searching the scriptures on family radio now. Well, one of his sons, Guy, was I think 17 years old. He was with us, and that was encouraging to see a youngster on the trip. And another girl, Madeline Coster was her name, from Michigan, which I think was 17 or 18 years old. And she was a real hard worker, and it was a blessing to have two young people on a trip and see how hard they worked. And it was just nice to have young people with us. So hopefully it'll be encouraging to some of you, even here, to consider a trip in the future, or when perhaps you feel that's what God wants you to do. Don't be afraid because you're too young or anything, but I guess there's a limit to the age, too, on the family radio trips. But anyway, it was nice to have two young people with us. It was very encouraging, and they were really enthusiastic about what we were doing and everything we did. God blessed us with a real good team for 21 people, and everyone to be like-minded and get along together throughout the course of that time is a real blessing, too. So we got to be thankful for that also. And I don't have much time here, but I guess the highlight of my trip happened on the very last day there. And me and another man went out. In fact, Terry Camping, we were on the same team. He's a nephew of Brother Camping. He lives in Southern California somewhere. And we were on the same team. And he's a good, dear brother in the Lord also. So it was our last day there. And it was our last time going out. And I'm trying to think, well, where can we go? We still have so many tracks, you know, and it's our last day out. And I said, well, let's go back to this train station where we were a couple other times. And it was pretty good. It was a pretty good place. It was different people. And you can hand out some tracks. And so we went there. We said, well, it's our last day out. We're leaving in the morning. We'll just go and do our best. And we always pray. We always pray when we go out. We always pray that God leads us to His people, leads us to people that desire His word and for Bibles and things like that. And we did distribute some Bibles, but not to the volume that we did in the other countries. So something happened to me that day that when I got back to my room, I start writing it down. And I said, well, I was feeling bad. I couldn't even help Barry out because it seemed like on the other trips, incidents would happen to me that were writable, or I'd scribble something down and give it to Jerry, and Jerry might use it in the daily report that he would fax the family radio or email. And I'm telling, and I'm just thinking, you know, I didn't even have anything very unusual even to write about on this trip. And I was sort of feeling bad about it because I said, Barry, he couldn't do it. It was just too hard with him doing everything else and making those reports up and all. He really had his hands full. So this is our last time out, and I got back to my room. I penned this down, and I called him. I said, I might have something here that you could use on a report. He said, well, Tom, it's over. I just faxed the last one back to family radio, so whatever, you know. I said, okay. So I'll read what I read and what I wrote, and then I could maybe just elaborate on a thing or two. Well, it is our last day here in Brussels, and we are setting out on the streets again to try to distribute our remaining tracts. One member of our team and I set out to a major train station in the town of Midi. We have had fairly good reception there in the past. It is getting harder to pass out many tracts at this point because we have covered the whole town area pretty well in the last 8 or 9 days. As we arrived at the station, I went to an entrance to the station which I thought would be a good spot. Within 2 minutes, two security police came up to me and ordered me away from that spot, even though we'd been there 2 or 3 times previously. So as I was walking away, well, I'll elaborate on that, and it was a good spot, and bringing in police, this was the first trip I've ever been on where even the police would not accept our tracks. And every place we've been, they would take them gladly, or they would take them to read them to see what you're distributing. So we just assumed naturally the police knew we were there. They didn't want nothing to do with the tracks. I did not have one policeman take a track off me, and usually whenever I see a policeman, I'll go right over to him and offer him a track to eliminate any questions in his mind as to what we're distributing. But here, this wasn't the case in this city. They knew we were coming, and they knew we were there. But anyway, so I mentioned to this one police, I said, you know, we've been here the past couple of days, and I said, and nobody either said anything about us standing here distributing them. And he got real nasty about it, and he says, well, I said something now, just go. So I didn't even have a chance with him. And so, okay, I just added that in there. So let me get back to where I was here. So as I was walking away, praying and thinking it will be impossible to hand out the 400 or so tracts I have in my backpack in any reasonable amount of time, considering there isn't much time left. You see, every one of us has that desire to hand out as many as possible, but I was getting desperate at this point. So I walked up to a street corner where I had been once before to proceed to distribute my tracts. I wasn't there more than 2 minutes when a man walked up to me and asked me how he could get a supply of the Does God Love You tracts. He went on to say that he had received one a few days ago from one of our team members, a woman, and had already written to Family Radio in Oakland, California for some tracks. And he had the track in his hand. And I said, wow, isn't this a blessing? In a sense of relief and thanksgiving to our Lord, a sense of relief and thanksgiving came over me as I gladly handed him what tracks I had, along with a French Bible and an assortment of Family Radio pamphlets and booklets, which we also share with those who seem to be sincere and hungry for God's Word. It turned out, as we talked, this man had come to Brussels 8 months ago from Congo, Africa. He's a Christian and has been praying and beseeching God that God will give him work to do in his new location, Brussels, and now believes his prayers have been answered. He will be distributing Does God Love You tracts throughout this country, along with 9 others that gather together for fellowship, prayer, and worship here in Brussels. Because I got to know this man. He had told me he led a prayer group in the Congo of about 50 people before he came to Brussels. And he was a young man going to college, spoke very good English, and they had a little fellowship here. And they were aware of the end of the church age and not going to the churches or anything. And we didn't tell them. So we can see that God is not only working here in this fellowship or with us, but God's word is being proclaimed throughout the world. So it really, it's a real blessing to meet someone on these trips that's a complete stranger. And you know they're a brother in the Lord, and we're believing, and we're like-minded, and we're hearing the word of God in the, exactly the same way. So that was a, I can't help but think why the security guards chased me, okay? So he gave me his phone number and said he will be happy to come to our hotel to get whatever tracks that we have left, should there be any, by this evening. We will be leaving very early in the morning to return to the USA. This is only one instance in which our Lord intervenes and proceeds to send out his word in these last days. Even when we cannot and do not see a solution to our present situations, we clearly see God's hand in many situations on these track distribution trips. A man had told me on a previous trip not to be discouraged should you get chased from a location. Don't retaliate or argue, but leave peacefully and say something nice and find another spot where you can distribute the tracts. He said, sometimes God might send someone to move you because he needs you to be somewhere else at a precise time. This is one of those times. To God be the glory. And that's exactly what happened. And we all know the world may call things like that coincidences and things like that, but it's not so. God was helping us distribute his word. And anyway, I got to know this man, and he did come to the hotel that night, and we had a few Bibles to give him and a few more tracts. And for all I know, I didn't check my email in over a week. He may have emailed me by now. His name was Serge. Keep him in prayer. And we're going to try to keep in touch with each other. He was going to try to keep me updated on his distribution with his little fellowship group there. So I just have to praise God for that, because that was really the highlight of my trip, and it happened on the last few hours there. So I want to thank God for giving me that opportunity again to go on these trips, to be here to tell you about them. I hope you're blessed by it, and it encourages others to go also. May God's name be praised. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we come to Thee and thank You so much, Lord, for giving us this day, bringing us here together, Lord, that we may hear Your word. For Your words are life, Lord. Your words are resurrected life. We thank You for it, Lord. We thank You for the fellowship. We thank You for how You've been with us today. We pray You continue to be with us. Keep us faithful, Lord. Have mercy upon us and cause us to draw nigh to You as Your return draws nigh. We thank You, Lord, and praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, Brother Chris will continue right into the open forum now.